Broadcasting live from the Business Radio X studios in Phoenix, Arizona, it's time for Phoenix Business Radio, spotlighting the city's best businesses and the people who lead them.
Good afternoon. This is Jody Lowe with the Leadership Lowdown, sponsored by You and Improved and Conscious Capitalism of Arizona. And it is our mission at Leadership Lowdown to uncover the journeys of Fabulous Valley leaders, what they do, how they got there, and all of the triumphs and obstacles and fun and struggles along the way. And today I am so thrilled because I have two amazing Valley leaders with us, joining us live via Zoom. And I would love to introduce you to both Alex and Von Reisenen. They are the president and human resource director over at Trevec. And welcome to the two of you. So happy to have you both here.
Thanks, Jody. Thank you.
There's so much to talk about, and I've had the pleasure of knowing you both for a short while now, and some of your family members and such. And it's been a pleasure getting to know you over these past couple of years or so. But you have an interesting business because you do not only home improvement, but it's really like the soup to nuts. So tell us a little bit about Trevec and how you got it started and what all you actually do.
So Trevec is a design build remodeling contractor. We're actually a general contractor, and we take customers from design all the way through construction and to project completion with kitchens, bathrooms, additions. We added a handyman service, and then we also recently added a roofing department.
So that's amazing. Yeah, that's like your newest baby, right? The newest acquisition to the family. That's great. Congratulations. That's exciting. What did you start when Trevec started? Because Trevec's about 20 some odd years old now, correct?
Yeah, we're a little over 19 years old.
Okay, 19 years old. Okay.
September will be 20 years old. We're excited.
Yay. Oh my gosh, that's a big number. That's a big number. Congratulations. So did you start out just in kitchens or a certain area and then expand? Or what was the background of the company?
Well, actually, we started in painting with the thought that we are getting into remodeling. Well, we actually started 5 days before September 11th. And so we had a really slow start.
Yeah.
And but we were able to gain customers. And then as kind of a unique way to get our foot in the door, we opened up a water feature department. And that entailed doing koi ponds and waterfalls. And the idea was that we kind of find a different way to get our foot in the door. And then if we serve them well there, you know, we would be able to serve them well with the other services that we have.
Wow. So where did koi ponds, where did the idea even start from?
Well, I have to say it wasn't my idea. That was my brother Todd's. And I'm not sure exactly. I think we had a cousin in Minnesota that was doing them. Mm-hmm. And we were talking. And so then we thought, well, we'll look into it. We got certified. And then we just started marketing them and we started doing them.
Wow, that's pretty exciting, actually. That's a really neat thing. I didn't even know that about the story. So today, Trevec looks a lot different. You do so much. I know that I see your trucks all over town. So I know that you guys are crazy busy. So tell us a little bit about some of the favorite projects or things that you maybe are currently working on or have done in the past that are sort of your faves.
So Trevec, over the years, we evolved into design, build, kitchen and bath, and like guest house casita company.
Mm-hmm.
And so I will say we saw handyman as a needed service, and we were referring handyman leads to other companies. And we thought, you know what, we should add that because it's another way to get our foot in the door. The overall concept of where we're trying to go with Trevec is to provide more or less a one-stop shop for all of your home improvement needs. And so.
Sure.
Recently, last year, we started a 10-day kitchen program that's been very successful.
A 10-day kitchen program?
10-day kitchen program. And so we take the customer through our typical design process, but once we start construction, we're done in 10 days.
Holy cow. Okay, so that's got to make a lot of people really, really happy.
It does.
That's always like,
absolutely.
Oh no, what do I do without my kitchen? So that's fantastic.
Yeah.
Wow.
So I will say with those 10-day kitchens, your kitchen needs to qualify for the criteria that we set for that.
Sure.
Because there's certain things that add time to projects and we have to make sure that it fits the criteria that we set on them.
curious because I was actually on actually doing a training for NARI. So that was something that you told me about. So appreciate that. But the conversation came up about the lead times right now and how delayed things are. Are you seeing that as much, or is that shifting a little bit now that we're into 2021 with ordering and such?
We see that. I think the basic, the biggest thing that we do is we try to set proper expectations with our sales team, our suppliers, and our customers. And so when somebody's looking at a project, you know, we have to do some research, make sure that we can get our hands on the products. Sure. And also we can get them through the city permitting process, because, okay, you know, there's a lot of delays there with the whole corona. And I think the virtual working or remote working.
So. Right. So many steps along the way, I'm sure.
But yeah, there are delays in products. Appliances are a big one. And so we just try to pre-communicate that to our customers on the front side, mm-hmm, to ensure that, you know, the things that they're considering for their projects, you know, we're getting kind of a premature look at.
Yeah, head start on all of that. Sure. And now I know that another big piece of your business comes from the, I guess you call them in-law apartments or places that, you know, one can bring their parents in. Is that more of a trend that you're seeing now where families are bringing the parents within their own home or living area than we used to?
Yeah, that is a trend. And we're trying to get, okay, so throughout the rest of the U.S., a lot of the cities and municipalities are adopting that easier than we are. You know, here in Arizona, we have like the Scottsdale community, and they're trying to preserve those communities and trying not to have too many different living environments on the same properties. And so,
got it.
But the overall idea is to bring your loved ones close to you and yet still keep them a little bit separate.
Sure.
You know, it's nice to have mom or dad or the in-laws living with us, but we don't want them living on us.
Right.
If we can create a space for them. Right.
Yeah, really, really good point.
But we see the need both there and then also remote or home offices. And then also just for guests, we get a lot of people or a lot of our customers like to bring family from out of town and have them come for the holidays. And it gives a little bit of separation.
Yeah. It's almost like the perfect trifecta, because yes, I mean, obviously a lot of people are going to come visit Arizona anyway. We're such a destination state. But then when you think about, obviously with Corona, but, you know, just in general, a lot of people, I do believe, are wanting to remain close and have, you know, children know their grandparents more and have them close. So how nice that you can really bridge that family bond and then also the home office. I mean, Lord knows that's a big thing right now. A lot of people working from home. So no wonder.
And we see it with those guest houses. I mean, if we are, you know, you think about like nursing home costs and home care and all that. I mean, you're looking at $4,000 or $5,000 a month.
Oh yeah.
And so you build a guest house in two and a half years, that guest house is paid for.
Absolutely.
And you got something that stays with the family. So.
Well, and yeah, and then you have that you know, structure for forever and can use it for whatever you would want to use it for. So how great that it's got that flexibility too. Love it. And Alex, you have this incredible background. I you know, in just reading more about your bio from what I already knew, but working in hospitality, and I know that you studied at U of A and speak Spanish and Serbo-Croatian, and oh my gosh, you're just like this wealth of knowledge. So what a great great partnership you guys have.
Yeah, we do. I started my career at the Four Seasons, so I really gained a lot of my HR experience there, which was awesome, just because their level of service there is top in the world. So being able to just learn at that high level was really great. And then I moved to Kitchell Construction. So that's where I started getting my HR construction experience.
And so was that here in Arizona or?
Yeah, here in Arizona. So I was their corporate recruiter for a few different regions before I came to Trevec. And so that was it was a nice move to be able to gain that experience before coming here to start human resources for Trevec.
Well, yeah, so perfect to have the HR background in hospitality and then couple that with, yeah, the construction piece. So you sort of marry the two together. I love it. And so today you are in charge of hiring all the talent and bringing them up through the ranks.
Yeah. So human resources in general, and then just sourcing candidates and, you know, creating the process within the company for other people to be involved in interviews and bringing them on and onboarding and kind of just seeing them through that whole employment cycle.
Fantastic. How has that been now with COVID and all of that? And has it been hard to find help, or is the labor pool bigger with unemployment being higher?
Yeah, no. So we've been blessed this year, Jody. I think, you know, because of the industry in general, there wasn't really a drop in the need for construction services.
Yeah.
And we just continued being creative and changing things up and hiring. Yeah. And I think because of that, we were able to continue bringing people onto the team, continue growing our departments, you know, adding value in different ways and promoting people and just doing a lot of cool things that I think some other companies weren't able to do. And so I think because of that, we set ourselves apart and really made a name for ourselves almost, you know, in this time.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was pretty neat, I think. And we're still, you know, I think we have about 6 positions open right now. So we're still adding.
Wow. There you go. For everybody that's listening, if you are looking for positions, Trayvec.
Yeah. I think we added about 10 people in the last probably 6 to 8 months. And we've got about 6 positions that we're looking to fill.
No kidding. And so are those more in leadership roles and executive team roles, or are they more in the field and sub?
Yeah. All different types of roles. So because our handyman division is growing, we have, I think, 5 or 6 trucks out there. We made an initiative initially that we would hire a dispatcher, mm-hmm. You know, after a certain amount of trucks. So we have a position out there for a handyman dispatcher. We're looking to add another project manager. We're looking to add a production manager. We just hired another drafter to add to the team.
My goodness.
So, yeah, we're always looking for really great sales and designers, you know, so that's an ongoing position that we're constantly recruiting for.
Fabulous. Fabulous.
Yeah.
Well, so how big is Trayvec in terms of a number of people these days?
I think with the trades team, we have close to 60 employees.
Wow. Fantastic. Fantastic. Yeah.
Pretty amazing. So 2017, we were at 17 full-time employees. And so at that point, you know, we made a very
strong growth initiative
to grow the team. And, you know, and we figured out the steps that it would take to do that. So it's pretty exciting just in the last few years what Trayvec has been able to accomplish.
Well, kudos to you both, because that's a lot of growth. I mean, that's a massive number. So fantastic. Good for you. And tell us a little bit about the reason for the acquisition of the roofing company, because I know that's something big for you all.
So I can chime in there. Roofing has always been in our blood. Okay. So years ago, my dad had a roofing company called Sunvic.
Yep.
And they actually transformed that into a total home improvement company. And they operated for 10 years and then they sold it. When they sold it, I think they had a little over 100 employees. So they went from nothing to 100 employees in 10 years. And that was in the mid 80s to the mid 90s. And so most of us in my family, you know, roofing has been in our blood. When we started Trayvec, we actually started also with a roofing license. But most of the roofing that we got, we subbed out to, you know, some of the people that we know in the industry.
Sure, sure. So just made sense.
Over time, we, you know, Trayvec is a wanted service. We thought, you know what, if you have a wanted service, so if you have remodeling, it's like a tower, mm-hmm. okay? If the economy changes, that tower can topple.
Sure.
And we thought we wanted to start adding other parts to the company, and some of them being a needed service. And roofing, I mean, if it rains, people need a roof. It doesn't matter what the economy's doing at the time, they still need to figure out a way to get in a roof. And so our thoughts were, you know, we already know roofing and we do such a great job with our remodeling and handyman services. Why not add another service to be able to serve our customers?
That's fantastic. Well, yeah, certainly those relationships and that trust is there when you've done the in-laws place and the kitchen. Why not do the roof too? I mean, that's great though. It makes a lot
of sense. Yeah, actually, we just got a job right down the road from our house. We did a remodel project and then we quoted them a roof, I think about a week ago. And she just came in with the check and the contract. So
there you go. That's how it works. Well, what would you say, obviously having a big background in this field and industry, what would you say are some of the things that really set Trayvec apart from some of the other companies out there?
Well, I'm going to say action. Okay. So I have many little sayings that I use around here, but one of them being, you've got to keep the little things going. If you make the little things happen, the bigger things will happen. And so even, you know, just like when Corona hit, we took action. Okay. First step, I did as a leader is figure out our cash, okay? Making sure that we have cash available for our needs. The second thing we did is we reached out to all of our product suppliers on all of our open projects, and we made sure that we got all of our products here to our warehouse.
Oh, okay.
And the idea is that, you know, if they shut down their warehouse, you know, we can still keep things moving because, you know, as you know, construction was a needed service or essential service through the pandemic. And we are able to control the work that we were able to do because we had our hands on our products or our customers' products.
Well, that makes sense.
So taking action, it's doing the little things to make the bigger things happen.
Yeah. I think people also, Jody, we have the ability to recruit, I think maybe a little better than a lot of other companies our size, especially in the construction industry. And I think constantly interviewing people and just always bringing people through that process and being able to say, this person doesn't fit into our culture. Mm-hmm. We're not going to move forward with them, or they do. And what's the next step? You know, so being proactive, I think, with like recruiting and bringing people on the team rather than like, we need someone yesterday, let's just hire the first person that we see. So we're able to really be diligent in choosing, you know, selecting who's going to be a good fit on our team. And then also on that flip side, who feels like they would feel comfortable on our end also once they learn about, you know, what Trayvec is all about and all that. So we're not in a rush to hire because we are constantly, like on a daily basis, we have multiple interviews.
Which is fabulous though, because you need, you know, from what you said, you need the quantity, but you really are, you know, diligent about making sure that it's quality, and that's got to set you apart.
Our current team is awesome. We have such a really great core team, you know, and it took definitely some time to build up, I think over the last few years, but the team we have now is so solid and they're such team players, and they just, everybody has such a passion for Trayvec, but also for delivering, you know, that product to the client. So, and I think it shows.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Well, I know that was something that, you know, we talked about before is the work environment and the culture that you create is very important for you, you know, as the leadership of the company. So what are some of the things that you do that you feel is a little maybe unique in your industry for your team?
Yeah. So we've actually done a few different things, but from like an employee engagement standpoint, we've built relationships in the community to do different drives. For instance, we've partnered with Harvest Compassion Center on multiple occasions. We do that once a year and then various times throughout the year to raise money and food and clothing drives and so forth. We have commissioned the team almost to tell us about different things that they're interested in. And that's how Ironwood Cancer and Research Center came up a few years ago. So we raised money to be able to give, I think, over maybe about $1,200 worth of protein shakes to their Chandler facility. So that was really cool. And one of our production members had a very close tie, you know, to cancer in his family. So he was really excited about helping, you know, helping that initiative. Just, you know, we have many subs who we're all humans and we're all people and we all experience different things. So, you know, whenever we hear that someone's in need, we had a sub recently that was experiencing a lot of troubles in their family with illness, and our team raised about $1,000 for him, you know, to help with medical bills. Just things throughout the year that we hear of.
Yeah.
Hurricane relief funds, we've raised money for that. We have a points program where our team members can earn points by doing things above and beyond. And then, you know, with those points, they can donate to various different charities that we support. So just a lot of opportunities, I think, for people to give back is something that we enjoy. And then remodeling seminars, maybe you can talk a little on.
Prior to that, I'll talk a little bit about our biannual golf events.
Golf tournament.
Yeah.
Forgot about that.
So, we got big golfers in the house, right?
Yeah, so there's actually some really good golfers on the team. However, we do play best ball, and so that enables everybody to contribute. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, and I'm not a very good golfer, but, you know, one of my putts might be the one that counts. And so.
You never know. Right. That's fabulous. Yeah. Well, and I love the fact that, you know, it's a, the culture that you created is obviously engaging. The people want to be there. There's people that love to be there, you know, just from the pieces I know, and obviously being able to contribute in terms of leadership training. I just, the people that have come through, and it's been a, you know, a handful or a couple now, they're passionate about what they do. You can see that. And they want to improve themselves so that they can better show up for the team, you know, and that team obviously at work or at home. So it's fabulous to see. And, you know, obviously the things that you're contributing to the community and to missions that matter to the people that are in your organization. I think sometimes, you know, it gets it's nice to be able to give and, you know, there's so many good causes, right? But when it's something that really ties to your community or your family within your organization, I think there's just such a heartfelt tie to that. So it's great to see. I love it.
Yeah, and one other thing we try to do like team member development. And yeah. So last year we had, I think, 8 people that became certified kitchen and bath remodelers. Mm-hmm. And that was through the NARI organization. And yeah. That was really neat to see because we did actually a self-study group. Uh-huh. Here at the office. And so they would come in and they would work through the chapters. And oh, you know, that book's like that thick. So there's a lot of content that they go through and then they have to sit for the test and they pass the test. And yeah, so
that's exciting.
We do stuff like that. Obviously, you know, Mike Tony over at Conquest Training.
Yep.
We put people through leadership and sales training there.
Yep.
And
yep.
The idea is, you know, if we can continue to improve our team members, and they can continue to improve, they will keep bringing valued service to our customers. So.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Well, that's wonderful. And now I know that your scenario is a little unique being a husband and wife and, you know, running this amazing company. So tell us a little bit about, because I'm sure that there's listeners that would love to know, what is the dynamic? What's the secret sauce? What do you do to make it work so that you, you know, are having a great relationship at home and at work? What's the magic?
Well, let me go back a few years. So I will say when I met Alex, I just couldn't believe that there was such a person out there. So that was fantastic in itself. Along with that, obviously, I was getting more and more involved in business and I wanted to grow our business. And I realized that there was a lot of things that we needed in order to be able to set ourselves up for growth. Okay. And so I started looking, you know, 5 and 8 and 10 years ahead. And I realized some of the things that we need then, we need to start putting together now. Yeah. And she was working with other companies at the time, but she still helped me with a variety of HR type initiatives, you know, just on the side. And so that started she and I working together.
Oh, okay.
At some point, I wanted to bring her on the team. Uh-huh. My dad had challenged me and he said that, you know, you want to make sure that the company's ready for that. Because there is the dynamic that she's my wife. And mm-hmm. And so anyways, he said, you want to make sure the company's big enough and ready to be able to handle that dynamic. And so I put it off for a couple of years. But as I was putting it off, yeah, I just kept on kind of kicking myself thinking, boy, what we're missing.
Yeah.
You know. But I will say she was still able to help us through those years. And then at some point we made a decision to move forward. That we were ready for it. And I think that's been the best thing that's happened to Trayvec.
That's fantastic.
I think that we have a lot of respect for each other in what we do, Jody. And that's really like what, you know, the biggest thing is I have total confidence in him and he has total confidence in me. And we have total confidence, you know, amongst all of the other leaders in the company. Mm-hmm. And we all like have our respective departments that we manage. And then we come together on a weekly basis and, you know, and bring everything to the table. Mm-hmm. So yeah, you know, I think working in the same office probably wouldn't be a good idea, but you know, with some separation, it has worked out really, really well.
Yeah, that's fantastic. Well, and you said it perfectly. I mean, that you have to have that mutual respect and underlying of that, of course, the trust and being that you have that, what a great foundation to build from. So
we are both really passionate about our business and we're really passionate about growing this company. And we have never been like a Monday through Friday work, you know, stop at 4 o'clock type of a person. So we are, you know, we're working around the clock. We're talking about things around the clock. Vaughn is always listening to podcasts and reading things and, you know, attending different seminars and, you know, and we'll talk about things after dinner and so forth. But we're able to do fun stuff too. And, you know, and golf on the weekends and go hiking and take breaks. So we, you know, we don't allow it to control our lives, but in the same time, I mean, this is our life. And, you know, we're working to build this company along with the other leaders who, you know, are also looking to build the company. So that balance has been really good for us, I think.
That's great. Yeah. The good news is just in knowing the two of you, seeing that you're having fun, and fun can be in the workplace or on the golf course, but it's wonderful to see because there's always smiles from ear to ear. So I love seeing that.
Yeah. We can have fun walking the dog.
See, there you go. It's the little things. It's those little moments. That's what matters most. Well, and Vaughn, you mentioned obviously, I'm sure that your dad and others have been big mentors. It's obviously a lot in your family, but what would you say for each of you has been sort of a big word of wisdom or something that you maybe have learned from whether it was your dad or other mentors along the way that's really stuck with you?
Well, there's a few things. One thing I will say, my brother, Todd, I look at him as he just had a ton of inspiration to go and start something. Uh-huh. And that's not easy. When he was the actual one who actually spearheaded the starting of Trayvec. Uh-huh. And, you know, and I don't think Trayvec would have been here today had it not been for him. Sure. And so that's one. And then also my dad, you know, he grew his company and then they sold that company. He stayed on for about 3 years and then he transitioned into the medical device world. Mm-hmm. And he was working with engineers. They're manufacturing and designing ergonomic type medical devices. And I thought, wow, you can take business principles from one industry, shift over to a whole different industry, apply those similar business principles and have a thriving company.
Yeah.
And he shifted over to a company that wasn't doing so hot. I think she's probably still mad to this day that he took a $50,000 a year pay cut. You know, but he turned that company around and he worked with that company for 15 years and then he retired. And I just thought, wow, it's amazing. You know, the principles of business are the same. It doesn't matter what business you're in. So
that's great though, because you got to really not just necessarily hear a quote or something like that, but really see him and them lead by example and learn from the lessons, which is pretty, what a gift.
that is. And I will say another gift I've been given from him is, you know, you cannot give somebody responsibility if you don't give them authority. And so in 2012, I took over the management of Trayvec. And I have to say that I had the autonomy to be able to operate the company as I felt I needed to. And that wasn't easy because, I mean, we, you know, we had a lot more people in the family that were involved as shareholders.
Sure.
But I was blessed with the autonomy to do what I needed to do. And over the years, you know, Trayvec is now, or we've somehow, with the help of the team, gotten Trayvec to be what it is today, you know. But that was interesting perspective, and I don't know that I really ever considered that prior to then. But you cannot give somebody the responsibility if you don't also give them the authority to do
great,
what it is.
Great point. It's a great point. Absolutely. Yeah, holding someone under your thumb isn't going to give them the autonomy to be able to make the right decisions in the moment. And again, that trust that you talked about or that we talked about. So fantastic. I love it. How about you, Alex? Any mentor, anyone share anything with you along the way that's really stuck for you?
Yeah, I think the biggest thing maybe is just having a great attitude. Attitude is everything, you know, because life's going to happen. Things are going to happen. Your days, you know, everything can go wrong in one day, but it's your attitude that's going to make it or break it.
Absolutely.
You know, and that's probably the biggest thing, you know, again, when we're looking for people on the team, you know, who has a great attitude, who can be trained, who is just willing to go, you know, above and beyond to do anything. Because you can train anybody to do anything, essentially, you know, mm-hmm. within means, but you can't train attitude. So that's probably one of the biggest things that stuck with
me. So true. So true. And yeah, exactly. You can train them how to remodel or do this or that, all the different skills on the job, but yeah, the personality traits of the work ethic and the attitude and those things are either there or they're not. So
yeah, probably one more thing also is the saying, I am responsible, mm-hmm. you know, so regardless what happens, to take responsibility for it and take ownership for it. And that really just transforms the way that you look at solving that problem, you know, rather than putting it off on somebody else and saying, it's not my fault or, you know, so probably those two things.
Yeah. Love it. Love it. Love it. Well, part of the Leadership Lowdown that makes us sort of fun and unique is I love to ask a series of questions that actually originated from a French television broadcast years ago. And everyone that comes on the show, I love to ask these questions just off the cuff. No right or wrong answers. You guys ready? You both look a little nervous, which is
kind of... We are a little nervous.
Yeah, they're fun. They're fun. So there's no right or wrong, but...
I went through her class, right?
Okay.
So no, this is all in fun. But they actually used to use these same questions on a Bravo TV show inside the actor's studio, and they would ask actors the same questions. So I love to apply it to business because I think it's so great to kind of get to know you and your heart and your way of thinking. So here goes. So no right or wrong answers, just whatever comes to you. So we'll start with you, Vaughn, and then we'll kind of bounce back and forth. But what is your favorite word? And Alex, get ready because you're going to get the same question next.
I'm going to go with action.
Yeah. Seems to be the theme. Yes. Yes, yes. Well, you are definitely a doer. So I love it. How about you, Alex?
I'm going to say food.
Now that is an answer I have yet to hear. I love it.
The first thing that came to mind. I love to cook and I love to go grocery shopping. So I always have food on my mind.
You love to go grocery shopping?
I love it. I could do it all day, every day, just walk up and down the aisles and think about what I'm going to make for dinner.
No. So are you the person where there's just a bunch of ingredients and you look at it and go, oh, I could put this together?
Yep.
Oh, wow. I envy you. I am not cut from that same cloth. And it's like, give me the recipe and I can follow it. But no, I can't look at a bunch of things and put them together. So
I'm lucky.
That works really well for you, I'm sure. That's great. Yeah. So you don't need to do the curbside pickup, grocery store delivery. You don't like that. You want to go in.
Oh, I'm in there. Like if I had a little, corner deli on the side of the street that I could go to every day and bring a basket with food, that would be my dream.
You would love it. I love it. Food. Yep. That's fabulous. Okay. So now you guys can take these in whatever order. We're going to ask each of you, what is your least favorite word?
I can't.
Can't. Yeah. A good one.
I would say can't as well.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Something that's holding people back from what they really can do if they put the right attitude and mindset to it. Love it. Love it. Love it. So what would you say for each of you turns you on either creatively, spiritually, or emotionally? Like just what lights you up?
I love hiking. Yeah. If I can be on a trail hiking, it beats me. I will say one other thing is when I walk into the office every morning, I get inspired. I walk in and it's like, wow. And it like uplifts me as I continue to my actual office.
Which is fantastic because I think a lot of people would say the opposite. So good for you that you've created. People have to be happy in order for you to feel that, or it would be a different emotion or reaction you might have. So that's fantastic. How about you, Alex?
I think what gets me inspired is music. So I love listening to music. I don't know. I think of goal setting is one. So I think of, we've lost your
we lost
sound.
Your audio, Jody.
Oh,
there we go.
Oh, there we go.
We got you.
Yeah. So goal setting is a big thing. Like when I think of, the final outcome and then working backwards to figure out how to meet that. That's pretty exciting to be able to put all that down on paper.
Absolutely.
And figure out a pathway how to get there.
Love it. Love it. Well, goals and music and food. Those are a good combo. I like it. What would you say on the flip side, what turns you off?
I would say negative people that complain a lot, people that pretty much do everything that, we're against what we're talking about here. People that don't take ownership, that complain, that are just naysayers.
Yeah, and I hate to parrot that, but I'm going to have to parrot that.
Yeah.
He and I are kind of like-minded on a lot of things.
Clearly, that's why this relationship and business both work so well. I love it. I love it. Okay, so this one, feel free to answer in whatever way you want. What is your favorite curse word?
Ooh, I don't curse. Uh-huh. Ron really doesn't either.
And if it's a version thereof.
I would say ass because you can get away with it because an ass is a donkey.
See, so. There you go. I love it. I love it. I love it. There's a workaround for you.
I don't know, Jody. I don't use any curse words. So okay. I'll say like, oh man, or geez, or I mean, they probably sound, you know, stupid, but.
No, I come up with the funniest thing. Some will, you know, blurt out, you know, a big old curse word, and others have just the silliest thing. So I think it's a fun question to ask, but I like it. I like your workaround, Vaughn. That's great. What sound or noise do you love?
I love the sound of either a hopped up car or a nice dirt bike.
Or
a nice Harley.
Okay. So engines and.
Yeah. Mine are more engine related.
Got it. How about you, Alex?
I don't know how to answer that off the top of my head. Can you come back to me on that one?
You got it.
I'll add one more.
Okay.
So I'm from a large family, as you know. My mom and dad have roughly 70 grandkids, plus or minus. And so when they have a happening at their house, which my parents currently live right across the street from us, and we are there, and there's 3, 4, or 5 families there with all their kids, I just love the hum of the noise that comes from all the kids and all the action.
Well, you know what's so funny? I may have shared this with you too, but you know, in knowing many of your family members, I have always said, I'm like, I come from the tiniest family. So I would do anything to just be a fly on the wall to experience that energy that you're talking about when you have that large family and everyone coming together. I can only imagine how fantastic that's got to sound and feel. So love it.
I will say there's a little bit of challenge. So when we're at those events, people want to play darts or, you know, do these various games, but right. Usually I'll refrain from playing the dart game because I like to just be able to take in everything.
Yeah.
I mean, for me, it feeds me. It's inspiring.
Yeah. I like it. That's fantastic. Super cool. Did you come up with one yet, Alex?
Or I didn't yet. No, I'll think of one.
Okay, we'll come back. Now you have to think of what is the sound or noise that you hate.
Ooh, okay. So knives, metal scraping together.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah, it's worse than a chalkboard, worse than anything. That's like the worst sound in the world to me.
Oh my gosh. Now that you're saying it, it's kind of making the hair on the back of my neck. Okay. Yeah, totally. How about you, Vaughn?
Mine are probably rings or beeps or notifications on a phone or car honking or anything. I just don't like beeps.
Yeah. Beeps and interruptions. Yeah. Right. Because it takes away from the action.
Takes away from my action.
I feel you. Yeah. I'm getting it. So what profession other than your own would you love to attempt?
I would love to be a trainer / motivational speaker / something that helps people improve their lives mentally and physically.
Love it. Well, that sort of speaks to me. I got to tell you. Come join me. I won't take her. I promise.
And I would like to work with business owners on improving their businesses.
Okay. Kind of business consulting or something like that.
Yeah.
Yeah. Nice. So what profession would both of you not ever like to attempt?
Accounting.
That came quick. Like, no.
Well, so years ago when I was a teenager, I washed dogs for a living.
Oh.
And I don't think I would want to do that anymore.
Yeah. You had your fill of that?
That's dog washer.
I was a dog washer.
No dog washing. We will not put you back into dog washing. I love it. And if heaven exists, we'll wrap up with this question. If heaven exists, what would you like to hear God say when you arrive at the pearly gates?
Your home.
Nice.
Yeah. Welcome home.
Yeah. Welcome home. I love it. Well, welcome home. What a perfect segue into what you do, because it truly is so welcoming in how you treat your customers and obviously having the opportunity to work for you and with you behind the scenes and with your team is always my joy. What a beautiful welcome in both ways. So how if our listeners want to get a hold of you or learn more about you and your services, what is the best way for them to connect? I don't know, email or LinkedIn, or how can they best connect with you?
Yeah. So probably calling our office number, which is 480-367-1171.
Okay.
Or they can go to trevec.com and our contact information is on there. They can either, you know, fill out a form online or call the office or send an email. So
perfect. Easy enough. And to leave everyone with just a bit of wisdom, and how I love to wrap up the show is, what word of advice or wisdom would you impart on other business leaders, whether they're up and coming or established business leaders? What's a word of wisdom that you would share with them?
I would say to keep being creative and persistent. Persistence through trying times, through, you know, through the ups and downs that life throws at you, you know, keep looking at different ways of navigating and just don't quit. Keep going.
Love it.
One foot in front of the other.
Love that.
And I'm going to go with, if you keep doing the little things, the bigger things will happen. And so it's taking action on those little things. A lot of times we want to go tackle this great, big, huge thing, and we lose sight of all the little things, and then that doesn't happen. And so then we end up getting behind. And so just keep focusing on the little things.
Awesome. Well, Vaughn and Alex, thank you both so much for being a part of the Leadership Lowdown. Thanks for being the great leaders in the community that you are and doing the great work that you do. And for our listeners today, thank you so much. You've been listening to the Leadership Lowdown, hosted by me, Jody Lowe, and sponsored by You and Improved and Conscious Capitalism Arizona. At You and Improved, it is our passion to work with outstanding companies that are looking to empower their team members and grow both their leadership and communication skills. To learn more, visit us at youandimproved.com, or you can reach me at Jody with an I at youandimproved.com. Everyone have a wonderful day. Thank you so much for listening, and we'll talk to you soon.